Hello and welcome to The Headquarters, the official podcast of RaptorsHQ.com. I'm your host, Sean Woodley, and today I'm joined by Harsh Devay. How are you, man?
Good, man. How's it going?
I'm good. I'm adjusting to life without Kyle Lowry. It's been a transition, but I think I'm okay with everything now. I think we talked last week just after the news happened. I can't really remember who I've talked to when, but I was pretty bummed out when the news first came down last Monday, and it's gotten a little bit better since then, I think.
Yeah, I think having Serge Ibaka and PJ Tucker sort of balances out the loss of Lowry, at least from a mental standpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah, the euphoria of getting two new guys, and it was sort of balancing out losing Lowry. But it was a weird like roller coaster week, right? Because we first hear about the trade and the Ibaka trade, and then it's the All-Star break, and then we get PJ Tucker on the trade deadline, and then we hear that Lowry's out for like whatever, a month or 6 weeks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a bit of a crazy time, and then you know we got some pretty big wins, and I don't know, the team is sort of treading water. They look all right.
They're 5-2 right now without Lowry, which I think anyone would have taken, and they're playing well. But we'll get into that. We're gonna sort of get into our general thoughts about what the Raptors have done without Kyle Lowry. We're going to sort of take a look at Jonas Valanciunas. He had a nice game against the Pelicans on Wednesday, so we'll get into that. Some other stuff. We got some questions and things like that we'll get to, obviously, episode sponsors. So stick around. We'll get things started here on The Headquarters in just a second. Okay, welcome back to The Headquarters. Sean Woodley here with Harsh Devay. Let's talk about Jonas Valanciunas. So last night, Jonas Valanciunas had his best game probably in a month or so, probably since the Clippers game at the start of February, where he put up, I think, 23 and 14 or something like that. Had a really nice game. A game so good that it inspired me to write about how good he was in that game. And against the Pelicans, he was awesome. He had a really kind of rough start. The first few minutes he was out there, looked like it was going to be more of the same, and kind of the same play that kept him from playing any fourth quarters since, I think, February 12th was the last fourth quarter he played, the night before the Charlotte game, before the All-Star break. He just, you know, he was kind of out of the rotation. Serge Ibaka at center was kind of, you know, the new thing that the Raptors were going to, and it was being really effective. And, you know, Serge Ibaka, I think, was like a plus 22.8 at center for the Raptors, and there's no reason to go away from that at that point. And JV, since the All-Star break, had been, I think, the team's worst overall net rating guy as well when he was on the court. So it was nice to see JV turn it around last night. There's been a lot of sort of conversation about him, and just like, it's really annoying at this point. I hate the discourse around JV because there's no
room. I just don't even participate anymore.
Yeah, like, there doesn't really feel like there's any room for in between, and it's like, there are people who seem to think he's white Shaq, and that's just wrong, because he's not. Like, he can't do a lot of things to be a sort of focal point of an offense. And again, this is devolving into the conversation about it, but like, last night was nice to see, and if people are expecting that to be the regular sort of thing that JV does, I think they're going to be, you know, really sort of upset with that. But it was nice to see, and I think there are reasons why he is going to be important for the Raptors down the stretch here. But the big question I want to throw to you about JV, and it's not, you know, should he be playing fourth quarters or whatever, or do the Raptors hate him, or does Wink, or are the Raptors guard selfish, and should Kyle Lowry be traded? You know, there's been a conversation this week about JV's future with the team, and in the summer it looks like there's a real possibility that he gets traded. My whole problem with that, though, is Jonas doesn't really have a whole lot of trade value, I don't think, because look around the league. There are bigs on every team that teams would like to get rid of, and not many move at the deadline, because the whole sort of built-in thing is you have to kind of trade one for one, because there's no team looking to sort of offload bigs there's no team looking to absorb bigs, because they already have their own bigs they're trying to get rid of. And I'm just not sure what the value you can get for Jonas is right now, and the talk of a trade with him is kind of, I mean, I think it might be inevitable at some point if you're trying to keep all these guys, unless the Raptors want to go deep into the luxury tax with like a record bill. But I don't know. Like, I don't know what you're going to get for Jonas at this point. Like, what do you think is his trade value heading into this summer? Like, where does he stack up with the rest of these guys who are going to be on the market?
Yeah, no, I think it's a legitimate issue, right? Like, I think And that's why a lot of these, like, that's why a lot of the conversation has been so frustrating with JV, because, like, again, like, you know, people have been talking about JV being, for all intents and purposes, a salary dump, but it's not like he's a salary dump because he's that caliber of a player. You know what I mean? Like, when people say he might be a salary dump, it's because that's literally what the market is right now. Yeah. Like, think about how much the Nuggets had to attach to, you know, get rid of Yusuf Nurkic or whatever. Like, or think about how much the Nets are struggling to find a market for Brook Lopez, yeah, right?
Or Jahlil, like, Okafor, who's on a cost-controlled deal for the next couple of years. Like, it's hard exactly. to find these deals.
Yeah, and, like, I mean, if you really, like, dig through the teams, like, you could maybe find a couple that might make sense. Like, if, say, like, I'm just picking one off the top of my head, like, say Milwaukee gets rid of Greg Monroe, like, maybe there's a space there for JV, right? Like, you could pick and choose, like, one or two teams, like, here and there in each conference that might use a guy like JV. So, but I think, so yeah, like, as things currently stand, yeah, there might not be a huge market for him. But remember, like, things change in the offseason, right? Like, teams will have incumbent free agents, or they'll want to, you know, they'll want another cost control guy who's proven himself in the playoffs like JV has. Like, there's a chance that another spot opens up for him somewhere in the league. Like, I don't think it's impossible to suggest that.
Yeah, I just, looking up and down the standings of each conference, like, I just don't really, I mean, again, you said things can change, but, like, I think there's, like, a long list of teams that want to move their bigs, and, like, if things change, I think that's still going to be a problem. I still think there's going to be a glut of bigs around the league, and maybe Valanciunas, like, if you're looking at the guys who might move, I mean, you have Greg Monroe. He's going to opt out at the end of this year, won't he, you would think?
Is that what his salary situation is?
Yeah, he has an opt-out after... This is his second year there, right? So I think he can opt out. But it depends, right? If he doesn't think he's going to get the $20 million he got from Milwaukee, maybe he sticks it out for one more year. Because of the glut of bigs, I'm not sure how many teams are going to be throwing money at Greg Monroe. And even then, like, the Bucks have been trying to get rid of Greg Monroe for a year. And, like, why would they just want to throw Jonas in there? Maybe Jonas is a bit more skilled offensively, but even then I'm not totally sure. Like, Monroe's pretty good, and he's been solid for them off the bench.
Their issue with Monroe's been more, like, off-field, off-court stuff than, actual production, because he's pretty good, like...
Yeah. Yeah, like, I don't really see any sort of obvious fits. I mean, a lot of these teams, like the Nets, like, you have Brook Lopez there, like, you're not just going to plop Jonas's contract onto the Nets and hope to get some stuff back, because they're trying to get rid of Lopez as it is, and Lopez is better than Valanciunas. Like, maybe there's a deal where you could trade Valanciunas for a guy who's better, but, like, then you're still setting yourself up for the same issues where you don't have the cap flexibility to try to re-sign all these guys. So, yeah, it's a really tough situation. Are you, like, would you be upset if Jonas was back with the Raptors next season?
No, I wouldn't be upset. I just think, like, for me, it comes down to, and this is what I mean, like, it might be, like, a salary dump type situation where, like, you might not be getting the greatest pieces back. But, like, the Raptors are going to be in such a salary crunch if they keep Ibaka and Lowry. Like, let's forget about Patterson. Let's forget about PJ Tucker for now. But, like, if they get all these guys back, or get those two guys back, then suddenly you're looking at potentially needing to dump, you know, Corey Joseph, maybe Damari Carroll, maybe Jonas Valanciunas, and, like, maybe they value a guy like Damari Carroll's versatility more. You know what I mean? Like, where, again, his contract may not be all that tradable because he hasn't done anything for, like, 2 years with his injury history. Maybe they still aren't ready to hand the keys over to DeLon Wright. Maybe they're comfortable. Maybe they know that if they hand Serge Ibaka a four-year contract, that his long-term destiny within 2 years lies at center, which it ultimately does, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Then suddenly, you could justify trading a guy like Valanciunas. And, like, look, if he's back, it's going to be fine. Like, he'll play basically the same role he has now. But this is why it's not ridiculous to suggest that, you know, these conversations are going to become even more pressing in the offseason.
Yeah, it's a weird situation to be in. And he was just hoping that JV can kind of reestablish himself as just, like, a reliable piece of the rotation. Like, he doesn't have to close every night, but him not being a total liability would be great as well. And I do think there's room for improvement when it comes to him and Serge Ibaka together. I mean, it hasn't really translated yet into defensive results. I mean, it hasn't been terrible by any means, but and it hasn't been to the extent that the Raptors were getting killed in first quarters when they had Pascal Siakam playing the four. But I do think like there's room for improvement there. I mean, JV's entire career when he's been next to Patterson, they've been like pretty good defensively, and I don't see any reason why it can't work the same kind of way with Ibaka, or even better considering Ibaka's shot blocking ability. But so I'm willing to give it time, and I think JV, like, he's kind of at the being a victim of just an ill-timed slump because, like, out of the All-Star break, obviously all these new additions are here, and he's just not playing well. And maybe it's just a matter of coming across some matchups that are tough for him as well. I mean, the Wizards have always been a hard one for him. The Celtics present some problems. Like, it's been, like, you know, a stretch of hard matchups, whereas at the start of February, he was coming across teams like the Wolves or the, you know, the Pistons or the Clippers, where maybe he's more cut out to succeed. So maybe that's just been kind of the impetus for his slump, and we're kind of overreacting. But, like, I still think the issues with Valanciunas are still there. I don't think he's some sort of untapped potential ceiling guy who's going to turn this team into and give them a big three with Lowry and DeRozan. Like, I don't think that's there. And the defensive liabilities, I think, are always going to be there just because of what he is physically. And, again, the discourse about him is just so, so tiresome at times. But at all times, actually. But
yeah.
I mean,
I think, like, these three games are a good chance for him to, like, reestablish himself, like, with facing DeMarcus Cousins and the Pelicans, and then Dwight Howard on the Hawks, and who was it after that?
Hassan Whiteside
and the Heat.
AKA, so, like, Jonas's food last year.
Exactly. So those are the types of guys that, like, Jonas can play well against.
And Nerlens on Monday, too, at Dallas.
Yeah, I'm not confident about that as much. Jonas can do well against these types of guys, but, you know, like, this, man, okay, I don't want to get into the Jonas thing, but it's like, you know, like, what happens when he faces a guy like Frank Kaminsky, and, like, Frank Kaminsky is, like, a confident catch-and-shoot guy from deep, like,
yeah,
you know, like, DeMarcus Cousins, yeah, he played from the perimeter yesterday, but it was still, like, a ball-dominant, plotting-type game,
he
right?
does it,
like,
in a very stationary way, Cousins does.
Exactly, yeah, that's what I mean, and so it's something to keep in mind, right? Like, you gotta have you gotta keep these things in mind, you gotta keep context in mind when you talk about JV, and, like, I think it's a good sign that when the matchups are right, he showed that he can still dominate, and that's good. Like, there'll be some matchups where they're really gonna need him, and, you know, it's good that he showed Dwayne Casey that, yeah, like, he's still mentally there. He's still ready to contribute.
Yeah. And you're just hoping the playoffs, like, he's been really good in the playoffs in his history. So, like, I have confidence that he'll be able to, depending on the matchup, of course, but, like,
I hope we get the Pistons, okay?
Yeah, that'd be great. Or if the Raptors play the Hawks in round one, I think that's a matchup he can do pretty well in as well.
Yeah.
You know, avoiding Miles Turner and the Pacers would be nice, but he did well against the Pacers last season, too. So, obviously, they're a different team without Jan Mahimi, but, you know, I don't think any of the... I mean, are you worried about any of the teams below the Raptors in the East? Like, if they were to play any of these teams in the first round, like, even without Lowry, I'm not scared of any of these teams. I just think, like, the Hawks are so uneven, and, like, a Schroeder-Howard pick and roll does not scare me in the playoffs. I mean, Paul Millsap is amazing, but I don't like the rest of their team. The Pacers, I think, are a way easier matchup for the Raptors this year, considering there's no George Hill or Jan Mahimi. Even the Bulls, like, everyone's scared of the Bulls, but the Bulls are, like, bad, and Jimmy Butler hasn't been the same since his injury, and they obviously got rid of Doug McDermott and Taj Gibson, which is good for Raptors fans, and I don't think over a course of a series the Bulls would be a real problem, and I think the Heat might just surpass the Bulls and get that playoff spot anyway, or the Bucks have been playing well too, so... and none of those teams scare me, really, as a first-round matchup for the Raptors, even if Lowry isn't at 100%, or even if he has to come back mid-series or something like that. What do you think? Like, I don't, it's so early to think about what matchups there might be, and the Raptors are probably going to end up playing the Hawks. They're probably going to come in the fourth seed, just based on everything. I mean, the Wizards' schedule down the stretch is pretty difficult, and they have this five-game road trip that could kind of swing things, where they play Cleveland, and then they have the Lakers, and then three straight against the Clippers, Jazz, and Warriors, and that could sort of determine things here, but I mean, the Raptors are probably going to come fourth, just if you're a betting man, put it on the coming fourth, and probably going to play the Hawks, and, like, that just doesn't frighten me whatsoever.
Yeah, no, I don't, the Hawks don't really scare me that much. I think the Raptors are match up pretty well against the Hawks.
Like, who stops DeRozan on that team?
Yeah, I guess Cephalosha can probably spend some time there. The Pacers still scare me, like, just because Miles Turner is basically playing the five now. And, yeah, like, the Raptors are better equipped to deal with that. But I'm just saying, like, these are all, like, it's varying degrees, right? Like, the Pacers scare me, like, more than the Hawks scare me, but they don't, like, scare me overall, if that makes sense. The Pistons don't scare me at all. The Bulls, I have too much trauma from all the Bulls matchups for the past, like, 4 years for me to not be afraid of them. Miami doesn't scare me anymore. Like, I think JV can dominate Whiteside. Like, I think JV has a type of guy that he can dominate.
Yeah, like, it's the very, like, prototypical rolling center without much range.
Yeah, and the guys who are, like, low IQ bigs, like, he can dominate those guys. It's fine. Like, Brooke Lopez might still eat his lunch, but, like, the Hassan Whitesides, Andre Drummonds, like, those guys don't really stand a chance. The Bucks scare me only because they match up well defensively with guys like DeRozan, because, like, they have a bunch of 6'7", like, athletic freaks who are strong as hell, and they can switch everything, which is really where the Raptors, like, start shitting the bed. Like, when they face teams that are, like, more than willing to switch everything with good defenders, it's the Raptors kind of start freaking out. So
it's because their entire offense is based on penetration, right? And if it's not there because of the switching, they're kind of boned.
Exactly, yeah. And where, you know, suddenly your pick and roll is not as effective, your 1-2 pick and roll is, like, worthless. Like, that's the type of stuff that scares me.
Yeah. I just picture
Jonas.
In
general, they're better. I agree with you. Yeah.
I just picture Jonas as, like, you know, this kid who's in, like, academic math and he's having some trouble, and then he gets dropped down to the essential math class and just destroys the Son Whitesides and the Andre Drummonds and lower IQ guys. He just doesn't really have a happy medium. Maybe it's applied, I don't know. Man, high school, that's a long time ago. Anyway,
you went way back for that.
Yeah, no kidding. I think I got the tiers of classes correct.
I think you did.
Who knows? Yeah, I think the Raptors are pretty well situated. And even, like, if you look above them, like, the Celtics are probably going to lock up the 2 seed. Their schedule is super easy down the stretch. NBA.com has their strength of schedule at a 0.397, which is the only team below a 4, a 0.4 in the NBA for the rest of the year. They play 11 of their 17 games at home. Like, they're probably going to get that second seed. But, like, that doesn't make me any more scared of them in the regular season. Even Brad Stevens talked about Boston as, like, being better than what their record is. And Brad Stevens is a smart dude, I guess. I like to slander Brad Stevens. But, like, if you can recognize that, maybe he's got some intelligence behind him. And, like, really the only teams in the East that really scare me are Washington and Cleveland. And, like, despite what Boston's doing, Boston has the narrative behind them now because they've beaten Cleveland and the Warriors in the last week. People forget that they got destroyed by the Clippers, but I don't know. The Celtics don't scare me. What do you think of the Celtics right now? Like, have you hated a team with the furor that Raptors fans seem to hate the Celtics with, like, ever? Like, I can't remember the last time I disliked a basketball team as much.
Well, I mean, they're getting this stupid reputation when it's, like, not rooted in any sort of, like, fact. Well, I mean, there's some fact to it, but I mean, like, it feels undeserved. Like, they haven't won a playoff series yet. People are so quick to hand them the number 2 seed, like, as if, you know, giving Al Horford $130 million was, like, the solution to all problems. Like,
ask Boston fans what they think about Al Horford.
Exactly. Like, they do not like Al Horford. And also, like, why do they talk so much shit, man? Just relax, all right? Like, the goddamn Celtics, like, Isaiah Thomas is, like, 5'8". Like, what are you saying, Valerie? Like, yeah, man, I mean,
they're so irritating. Like,
they're good. They're a bunch of tryhards, man. Yeah. I told you this. I said this last year. They're like the YMCA team. They play really hard. They're like the dude at the YMCA who's just, like, playing a little too hard. It's just like, all right, man, like, just take it easy. Like, it's not that serious. Like, we're not fighting over food. Like, just please, just chill.
They're a really good regular season team. I just have so many doubts about whether or not they can sustain it in the playoffs. Like, I just think Thomas is the kind of guy who's
their best player is 5'8", man.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest.
you want to have him on the court at all times because their offense won't be anything without him, but also that just opens yourself up to what the playoffs are about, and that is attacking mismatches, and he is the ultimate mismatch on defense where teams can just go at him over and over and over again, and I think that's really going to hurt them. And there's
season, like, I feel like the people attribute or associate the Celtics with being a good defensive team, but they're a much better offensive team than a defensive team, and part of that is because they always have that one liability on the court, like, for, you know, 36 minutes a night.
Yeah, I was listening to the True Hoop podcast this week, and I think it was Tom Haberstroh that pointed out, like, yeah, Isaiah Thomas has a lot of fourth-quarter points. Like, he leads the league in fourth-quarter scoring, but at the same time, that's because the Celtics can never close teams out because they always have Isaiah Thomas on the floor. So all of their games are close down the stretch, and he has more opportunity to score a lot of points.
Yep, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like sometimes the salt that I throw out there against the Celtics is probably too much, and maybe I'm underestimating them because, like, they are a good team, and, like, I like a lot of their players, and Avery Bradley has been really good this year, and Jay Crowder is annoying or whatever, and I like Jaylen Brown, and I'm scared of what he could become one day, but, like, I'm so not worried about the Celtics this year, man. Like, they just don't at all scare me. Did you know the Raptors this season have the best net rating of any Eastern Conference team?
Listen, wait till Lowry gets healthy, all right? Like, when we start trotting out that Lowry, DeRozan, whatever, Carroll, PJ Tucker, it doesn't matter, any Ibaka lineup, like, oh, man.
Yeah,
My body's ready.
Me too. And, like, that's why I'm so eager for the Raptors to get that 3 seed. While it might not be likely, and in the part of this podcast that we recorded but didn't record, like, we talked about how I'm probably too optimistic about that. You're a little bit more realistic about it. That it's going to be hard to catch the Wizards because the Wizards are really damn good despite how hard their schedule is. And because the Raptors are playing without their best player, it's going to be tough. But I'm going to remain optimistic there because...
Keep dreaming, man. We need it.
It's not that hard to conceive a situation they got to do is tie them, right? Like, they don't have to pull ahead. That's big. Like, just getting to a tie in terms of record with them will get you there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's inconceivable for sure. Like, I think it's possible. I just wouldn't bet on it personally.
Would you be upset if the Raptors, like, would you find the season as a failure if the Raptors lost in round two, came fourth, lost in round two to Cleveland? Like, I feel like that's going to be the conversation that comes up because that feels like the most inevitable path. I mean, a lot can change in 18 to 20 games down the stretch here. Like, nothing is set in stone in terms of seeding. But if that's what happens, like, this season's not a failure, right?
No, I mean, to me personally, like, it's not because whether you lose to Cleveland in round two or round three is pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, to me, but, like, I guess I can understand why it, you know, matters to people. Like, it, you know, when you... like, the pedigree of your team is different when you think about them as Eastern Conference finalists. Like, the way people talk about your team or the way your team is respected around the league. Like, you want to get the feeling of, like, you're an established top four team, right? Whether that's realistic or not. And you'd sort of be losing that. Like, you'd have the feeling of not just stagnation, but of regression. So I get it, but, like, in reality, it's the same thing, right? Like, you're losing to the best team in the East. Like, does it matter?
And the team that you've always been measuring yourself against anyway.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, sure, that means that Boston or Washington made it a round further than you, but you never really got to test yourself against them in the playoffs. So yeah. It's not really a fair comparison to make, you know?
And the context behind which the Raptors would come fourth, like, it makes it all kind of understandable, right? Because of the Lowry injury and just like a lot of injuries the Raptors have dealt with this year. I mean, DeRozan was down for a bit. Patterson was out at the same time as DeRozan for a little while there. I mean, that January stretch, I think a lot of it, just looking back at it in hindsight, I mean, yeah, some of it was just, you know, bad defense or whatever, but I think a lot of it could be attributed to the injuries. And like, if the Raptors end up with like 48 to 49 wins, like, I don't think that's a failure by any means. And if they end up playing Cleveland, like, so be it. And I don't think losing to Cleveland in round two will alter. And that's the nice thing about having a, you know, a rational human being like Masai Ujiri at the helm, is that I don't think he's going to alter the trajectory of the franchise just because the Raptors lost in the second round as opposed to the third round.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think what's going to matter more is how they look in that first round series and that second round series if they're the four seed. Like, do they take care of business against Atlanta properly, or is it another Indiana series or another Miami series where they're just like, you know, just... crawling to the end, you know?
Like, please, is it one of those... God, don't let it be another Miami series.
Yeah, exactly. Is it one of those series where they're like the joke of the NBA because they play this horrible offense and everyone's like, how are they winning any games at all? or everyone's like dreading watching the Raptors and then they get killed by Cleveland in like five games. Like, yeah, then I could see Masai thinking about making some changes. But if they like handle business in the first round, win in five or six games, and then push Cleveland to like six games as well, like I could, you know, that's not a horrible result for the team, man. Like,
no, I mean, last year having 20 playoff games was pretty awesome. Like, just speaking from, I mean, selfishly, getting to cover all those games was a blast, and just like having the buzz of a playoff run go on for that long was pretty great. But if it ends 2 weeks prematurely, like, it's fine, I think. As long as it's not embarrassing. Yeah, I mean,
it's definitely a bit of a bummer for, like, you know, not just casual fans, but, again, like, the way people perceive your team around the league. Like,
yeah,
it's a bit of a bummer, sure, but realistically, it doesn't speak to the quality of your roster or the team, right?
Yeah. Want to get some questions?
Sure.
All right, let's do that. All right, I gotta find my likes here. One second here. All right, we got some questions here. First one here comes from Beyond Bonesaw, friend of the show. What do you think about Zach Lowe's comment regarding the Raptors' front office? How the Raptors' front office values JV to the point where they weren't sure trading JV and a first for Boogie was worth it? Did this come from a recent podcast, or does it come from a recent column? I think I heard it on a podcast, like the Deadline podcast, maybe. But where did this come from?
I feel like he might have written about it during the trade deadline.
Okay. Or
he might have mentioned it on a podcast with, like, Mark Stein or Brian Windhorst. Right. One of those.
Yeah, I've come across this. I don't think it really speaks as much to JV's value as it does to just how much they were worried about the Boogie risk, I think. Like, that seems like a lot of teams were really mindful of that, right? Like, I don't think it was, you know, I think... In a vacuum, yeah, like JV in a first for Boogie makes a lot of sense. But if your team is apprehensive about bringing the risk that Boogie, you know, presents into the locker room in a really important season, no less, I mean, I understand it, I guess. Like, it would have been nice to get that deal done, that's for sure. But, I mean, I'm okay with how things worked out.
Yeah, I don't really get what the question is. Like, is he saying, like, the Raptors don't value JV?
He's just asking what we think about the comment of, like, how the Raptors value him to the point where they didn't want it. Like, it is sort of a wordy question, but...
Yeah, I'm not sure what the question's saying, but in general, like, first of all, I think that that trade is much more about what the Kings wanted to do than what anybody else wanted to do.
Yeah. Like, they didn't want a cost-controlled asset like JV. They wanted expiring contracts and young dudes so they could tank and also just try to open up cap space to sign no one this summer.
Listen, Buddy Hield was like the big X factor for them. Like, that's who they wanted, right? Like, and I think there were probably better deals out there for him. So, for Boogie, and in terms of the Raptors, like, I mean, there's a lot of different reasons why it made sense that they didn't go with that. Well, first of all, I don't even know if the Raptors didn't do it. Like, maybe it was the Kings who said no, and that deal was on the table all along, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the issues with that would be like. Like, first of all, like, chemistry in the sense of, like, you're bringing in, like, a guy with, like, a really high usage rate and plugging him into a team with two other high usage players. Like, yeah, that's not easy to do, right? Like, that requires a lot of moving parts. Like, a lot of people have to change roles with, like, 20 games left in the season.
Yeah, Ibaka's a lot more seamless guy to put into your lineup, right?
For sure, yeah. I mean, he's just, you know... picks his spots and takes open jumpers. Like, that's pretty much all he does. And that's fine. Like, that's what you need right now. And with Boogie, I think that's the primary concern for me. Like, it's not, I don't really worry so much. I mean, the character stuff might be real, might not be, I don't know. But, like, for me, it's just, like, the type of player he is. He's coming from a situation where he basically had the ball in his hands every possession. And now he's coming to a team where they have two guys with, like, sky high usage rates, and how are you going to fit that in? Like, how are you going to make everybody happy in that situation? And not just making people happy, like, you're basically reshaping your entire offense. So maybe it just made sense to stand pat.
Yeah, Considering the source of the question, Beyond Bonesaw is one of the bigger JV proponents out there. I don't think it means that they think JV is better than Boogie.
Yeah.
Next question here comes from Marcos at Nescretti. If you have Serge at center for next year, who starts a power forward? Paul Millsap.
Wow. Yeah. That's a good question. Maybe Patterson? I guess Patterson?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what you can do with Jonas, right? Like, if you offload Jonas, and we've talked about sort of the difficulties to come with that, but if you can get that done, maybe you can justify bringing back Patterson. Maybe you have the money to do so. Maybe you offload Joseph. Like, I still think Joseph is a really prime candidate to get traded this summer. I mean, DeLon Wright's not perfect, but I do think he's got a lot of upside, and I think by next season, he's probably ready for full-time backup minutes.
Honestly, I think Fred VanVleet is pretty damn good, too.
He's good, too, yeah. The Raptors, I think it was Joe Wolf on that made this point, that the Raptors' point guard position might be the deepest position group of any team in the league. Like, it's...
Yeah, they're legit four deep at point guard, like...
Yeah. Like they,
yeah, I mean, I think Corey Joseph makes a lot of sense as a guy who can get traded and who has value. Like,
yeah, it's not just like getting rid of him. It's that he is a valuable guy who you can afford to cut that money, and cutting his money might be important, right? Like,
yeah,
he's still good, but it
yeah,
might
and you think
worth,
about him from
yeah.
the perspective of like he's a guy who spent a bunch of years with the Spurs, like that carries some cachet, and then he's been a part of like two big playoff runs with the Raptors. And, you know, even started a fair share of games. Like, he's filled in for Tony Parker in Spurs. He's filled in for Kyle Lowry. And he's only making $8 million a year. So, I definitely think he has some value. Like, he might be the prime candidate to get moved, actually.
Yeah, I'd be surprised, honestly, if he wasn't moved. Just, it makes too much sense considering the point guard depth they have. And considering, I mean, it's going to be hard to find a team that needs a point guard. There aren't a ton of them.
Yeah.
Trade him to the Sixers for Dario Saric, and he can be your starting point guard, power forward.
Yeah.
All right, next question here comes from Bedanquad King. We had a back and forth here because he didn't quite word the question properly. But who would be the best host and co-host of a Raptors players podcast? Like, if there was, you know, pod beef between all the NBA teams, you have like Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye's podcast, you have Draymond Green's podcast. I guess the Raptors have Patrick Patterson doing a podcast now, Two Mats, Two Pats. But, like, what would be the best combo of Raptors that you'd want to hear host a podcast?
Doesn't Patterson already have a podcast?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, it's Two Mats, Two Pats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I kind of want to check out, actually, just because, like, the dynamic of Devlin and Patterson, like, shooting the shit about random stuff sounds hilarious to me. But I guess Patterson has to be on that starting lineup, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think, like, Norm Powell filled in for Patterson the other day.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, Patterson was unavailable for whatever reason.
Norm seems so just boring and uninteresting.
Yeah, I feel like it was probably more like an interview, like if Devlin was interviewing
right.
Norm Powell.
Right.
I bet Lowry's probably great.
Yeah, I mean, he was really good on the podcast with, didn't he interview Jay Wright on the Woj
podcast?
Yeah, yeah. So that was a weird podcast because it was just like the two of them just loving each other for an hour. I mean, I still enjoyed listening to it, but it's just like just swapping compliments back and forth.
Give
me
Bebe Noguera on a podcast for sure.
Him and like Ilya Bryzgalov should host a cross sport pod.
Wow. Wow.
I think that'd be pretty good. But yeah, like rather Raptors. I mean, there are some guys. I mean, PJ Tucker is like a pretty
PJ Tucker is like great to listen to, man.
Yeah, he's a good talker.
He's just so smart. Like just listening to him speak about like defense is just like I feel like educated every time I listen to like to a post game scrum. Like that's crazy.
Yeah, I'm still blown away by what happened after his first game where he hadn't slept in 30 hours. Decided when he got there he wasn't going to play, but then decided, oh, I'm here now, I'll just play. And then had a great game. What was it, like 9 points, 10 boards, closed the game, played amazing defense, ripped the ball out of Isaiah Thomas's baby hands. And then after the game proceeded to call out DeMar DeRozan for not talking enough on defense. Like, that is awesome.
Yeah,
that still stands out to me. Like, such a good quote he is.
Yeah, he's the best.
Yeah.
So we have four right now. Who's the fifth?
Oh, we're doing a five-man pod? I mean, if you're going true hoop style, then maybe it works, but sometimes I find the true hoop ones have too many voices.
Yeah, they definitely have a few too many sometimes.
Yeah. I mean,
That's pretty good. Four
yeah,
is good.
We'll go four on five. So what is it? It's Pat, Tucker, Bebe,
Lowry.
And Lowry? Yeah, we can do that. Oh, that'll work. All right. Next question here comes from... Also, is there writer pods out there worth... is there... This question's sort of hard to read. Are there pods out there throwing shade at the Raptors like William Lou throw shade at the Celtics? Okay, yeah, I was just missing the podcast.
Yeah. Sean throws shade at the other pod all the time.
I do?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
As a joke. You're like, you know, don't listen to their pod, listen to ours.
No, I always say listen to theirs. I just say listen to theirs and...
less often than ours.
Just click ours twice and theirs once.
Exactly.
It's a communal experience here with the Raptors blog.
I mean, it's friendly. It's just the friendliest that shade can be.
No, but like, are there other team podcasts that throw shade at the Raptors?
Oh. You think?
That's the question.
I refuse to listen. No other teams exist, man. Only the Raptors exist.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm part of the Locked On Podcast Network, so I listen to all 30 shows, of course, but no.
Dude, my head hurt for you just thinking about that's a lot of podcasts.
I do not listen to all 30 podcasts, I'm sorry. I'll check out the odd one here if there's, like, a good guest or
something. Yeah, you're not thrilled about listening to the practice report of the Phoenix Suns?
Hey, don't be calling out the daily brand of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's the only podcast network where you get daily team-focused perspective on all 30 NBA teams.
Oh, okay.
But no, I do understand. I mean, today's podcast I did for the Locked On was like just me reading strength of schedule because there wasn't anything else to talk about. There are days where it doesn't work, but like, I don't know, we got some really good hosts. Jared Dubin has lots of good guests on the Knicks pod, plus Knicks bloggers and Knicks podcasters are usually pretty good. But yeah, maybe Wizards? Like, are the Wizards the people to throw shade at the Raptors?
Do they? I don't know.
They do on Twitter. At least Bolts Forever guys do.
The thing is, like, I can't even be mad because they swept us, man. Like, yeah. We lost the right to talk shit back.
Yeah.
Or yeah. Take their shit talk personally because, well, I mean, it's facts. It's facts, you know?
Okay, what would be more crushing? Losing to the Celtics in 7 in round 2 or that sweep at the hands of the Wizards 2 years ago?
Celtics.
Yeah, that would suck so much. Just an entire year of shade out the window.
Yeah, see, because with the Wizards, I'm, like, resigned to the fact that John Wall is amazing and the Wizards are, like, really freaking good.
Yeah, I'm totally respectful of how freaking good they are. They're terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just hate the Celtics. So, yeah, like, I've been talking shit about the Celtics all year. So, yeah, we need to beat them, man.
Mm-hmm. Next question here comes from Will Liu, speaking of the devil. Do you trust this team in the playoffs? You go.
Yeah, I trust them in the playoffs. Like,
I do, too.
I think they've been in the playoffs, what, 3 years in a row now. They got those playoff series wins, monkey off their back, right?
Yeah.
They picked up Ibaka, who's like been to an NBA Finals, like he's anchored an NBA Finals team.
Yeah.
I'm
pretty sure he has more playoff games of experience than everyone on the Raptors roster, like combined. Yeah. Maybe that's too much, but like. I think he's the most experienced player on the roster in playoffs, like by a pretty significant margin.
Yeah, and that sounds reasonable. And like, so when you take that into account, like, yeah, I trust them.
Yeah, I do too. I think like, yeah, the offense is an issue, but I think the offense this season has been, I think, a lot more something that you can sustain in the playoffs. I just think DeMar DeRozan's better, and like, I think we'll see that in the playoffs. Like, I think he's more matchup proof. I think he's gotten a lot better at working out of doubles and moving the offense along instead of getting sort of caught up in those where the offense stagnates. And I just think having Lowry and DeRozan both kind of at their peak. I mean, yeah, you have to have Lowry at 100%, and that's kind of been the bugaboo with him in the playoffs is he hasn't been 100%. He had the elbow thing last year that effed with his shot. You had just him kind of breaking down entirely the year before. So that's concerning, of course, but I think I trust the offense, and I trust the defense more this season as well, because I just like the number of options they can throw out there. And I think Ibaka is going to be huge. Like, having him as your... Like, the Raptors started Luis Scola into the playoffs last season. Like, let's not forget about that. He lost his job pretty quickly, but he was still starting games when the playoffs began. And, like, I think just having a rotation of 10 guys who are just all solid and good is going to be important for the Raptors. It's going to be very valuable. And having a front court rotation where you can play, if you want, you can only play Ibaka, Patterson, and Valanciunas when Valanciunas isn't overmatched by whoever he's up against. Like, that is huge. Like, there's no dead minutes on the roster now.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, the roster is a lot better rounded out this year than it was last year.
Yeah. And I'm not even, like, totally sure that the Raptors would get, like, obliterated by the Wizards in a playoff series. Like, I think they'd probably lose in, like, 6 or 7, but I don't think it would be just, like, an ugly sort of just complete mismatch. Like, the Raptors can give the Wizards some problems, too.
Yeah, no, I don't think we would get swept by the Wizards. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. All right, next question here comes from William Blythe, at William Blythe, Will Blythe 8. What's the likelihood of us being able to re-sign PJ Tucker this offseason? And this ties into the next question from Beyond Bonesaw again. If you're still taking questions, would you rather Patterson at 16 to 18 mil or Tucker at 10 to 12? So let's answer first one, I guess. Like, what's the likelihood?
First of all, I don't think Patterson's getting that much.
I think he will.
I don't think he's going to get that anymore. Like, I think he's had a pretty rough, like, second half of the year so far.
I think it's mostly just been tied to injury, though. Like, I mean, maybe teams are scared away by that, but, like, even if there is sort of a...
a lot to give to a guy who, like, averages, like, 8 and 5 and had a not good second half of the year. Seems like a big risk.
And maybe there's sort of a comeback to normal in terms of contracts after last year's huge boom.
That's definitely a big part of it as well, yeah.
But I still think even if that happens, like, you look at what some of, like, the terrible centers on the market got. Like, $17 million a year was kind of the going rate for terrible centers. And, like, Patterson is a lot more useful than those guys. So I think he's going to get right in the range of those guys. Like, maybe not 4 years or whatever. Maybe he gets 3 years. I don't know. Math. Like,
I could see him getting, like, 3 years 15, 3 years 14, something like that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would be shocked if he got $18 million a year.
Yeah, I think if it's 16 to 18, I think we're looking at the 16 end as 16, more likely.
Right. But even then, like, yeah. I don't think we're going to see, like, Timofey Mozgov-type contracts this offseason.
You would think. I mean, there are less teams with crazy cap space just to spend, but there are still some teams that have it, and the cap's still going to be over $100 million. Like, either way, like, fine. Would you rather Patterson at 15 or Tucker at 10?
I'd rather take Tucker.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'd rather take Tucker. I think, like, the Raptors have shown that they can still have a really good defensive lineup with Tucker instead of Patterson at the four.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that Patterson hasn't closed games lately is kind of telling, I suppose.
Exactly, yeah. And maybe in an ideal world, maybe there's, like, a scenario where they move Carroll and they keep Patterson and Tucker. Like, there's a lot of different, like, permutations of what could take place. But just between those two in a vacuum, like, I think I'd rather have Tucker at this point, man.
Yeah, he's a lot older, though. Like, he's, like, 4 or 5 years older. So that's something to factor in if you're giving him 3 years or something. Like, that seems... I mean, maybe you can get away with 2 years for Tucker or something like that. But, I honestly think if the Raptors make it to a conference finals again and, like, really give the Cavs a run, then, like, I don't know. I think there's a real chance that MLSC will just be like, all right, we'll give you the money to bring them all back. And they just run it back with the exact same team, essentially. Maybe they try to deal Joseph or something to sort of maybe add a shooter or something like that. But, like, I would not be at all surprised if they do really well in the playoffs, if they just say, all right, this is the team that we're okay extending this window with.
And, isn't that the highest tax bill of all time then?
Yeah, it'd be pretty high.
I don't think they're all coming back, man.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, you know, maybe Valanciunas becomes the guy that you cut there.
I think they're definitely going to try to bring back Ibaka and Lowry, right? Like, that's not even a question to me.
That is the move if you want to extend the window.
There's, like, a scenario there where they try to keep one of Patterson and Tucker. Like, right. I definitely think that is reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And then that requires, like, some other moving parts. Like, that requires Joseph to leave or Carroll if you want to move more space, or JV if you want to move space. Even more space. So there's a lot of different things they could do. I could see one of them, and I just think, like, Tucker brings, like, a different element than Patterson. Like, I think Patterson is very good defensively, right? Like, we've seen how good he can be. his floor spacing ability, like, quite frankly, I thought, like it was super important back when nobody else could do it.
Yeah.
Like, at that spot. But with Ibaka here now, like, I feel like you don't, it's not as essential. Like, I don't think you're living and dying by Patterson three-pointers anymore.
Yeah, I still think we haven't seen the Patterson-Ibaka front court come together yet, and when it does, I think it could be really good. And, like,
what?
Okay, Patterson's been limited by, whatever, injury or not being 100% or just, like, the rotation. But, like, I still think once we see those two together, we might see, like, functioning fully together. I still think we might see, like, oh, these two together might be really, really good.
Okay, then let me ask you this then, right?
Yeah.
What makes you think that combination is better than Tucker and Ibaka?
I just think Patterson's a better shooter. And, like, maybe you're getting away with more on the glass with Patterson next to Ibaka. You're right. Like, I don't think it's, like, a huge difference. I think Patterson's just a better shooter, and maybe he can defend bigger guys than Tucker can. Tucker defends
true.
Wing guys, right? Like, Tucker defends wing guys.
Exactly,
Patterson
yeah.
Can,
and
yeah.
Like, Tucker switches on to, like, freaking, like, Isaiah Thomas and shit, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Like, he was giving, like, Bradley Beal a tough time. You know what I mean? Like, that's a totally different kind of, like, versatile defender than Patterson. And that's not to, like, diss Patterson at all. Like, I think Patterson's a really, really, like, he's, like, one of the finest, like, 4-5 defenders you can find. 3-4-5.
Yeah.
But I feel like Tucker's more of, like, a 2-3-4 type defender.
And that might be what you need when you have Ibaka there, right? Yeah. That makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question. Like, I just think,
oh,
like,
it's,
if the money...
It, yeah. It might be the most interesting, like, question of the offseason, as long as Lowry's
sure,
back.
For sure.
But, like, yeah, it's I mean, do you think Tucker gets 10 to 12 million? I almost think that's a little too high for him.
I could see, like, 2 years, like, 15, 16 for him.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking in my head. Like, maybe he gets the mid-level.
He might get a little bit more. Like, I'm
well, the mid-level is, like, 8, so...
He's also going to get, like, a bit of a bump just because, like, he's gonna look good for a playoff team.
Yeah.
Like, I'm assuming he's gonna look good. Like,
yeah.
Also, remember, man, like, he was coming from a shit Suns team. Like, he's gonna, like, I feel like even offensively, there's a chance, like, he looks a little bit more competent. Like, remember, first of all, Patterson's not blowing anyone out of the water offensively anyway.
No.
And, you know, there's a chance that Tucker gets more open three-pointers. Like, I could see that happening. I could see his three-point shooting percentage, like, taking a bit of a bump now that he's playing it, when he gets to play alongside Kyle Lowry and DeRozan.
Yeah, I mean, we've already kind of seen it, right? With like, he's gotten a little bit more sort of open threes. I think he's hitting. I mean, he hasn't had many. Like, it's been a really small sample, but, like, he's hit a bunch of, or even just, like, long twos. He's been kind of okay at. So, yeah, it's really fascinating, man. It's, again, I think it's probably the most interesting question of the offseason if you just assume that Lowry and Ibaka are back, and maybe that's dangerous to assume, but I think Masai is probably going to do everything he can to keep those two guys, and then filling in the holes around him makes some sense, I guess. And maybe if you keep Tucker, it makes offloading Carroll's contract a little bit more. Maybe you can save, like, whatever the difference is between those two contracts. But then I still think you're leaving yourself with, like, kind of crappy shooters on the wing. Like, I mean, Carroll hasn't been good at threes since the All-Star break. I think he's shooting, like, 20% from three since the break. But, like, he is, aside from Ibaka, like, the best three-point shooter on the team.
Yeah, and I think, like, the main thing is that it's nice that the Raptors have so much flexibility.
Yeah, they have flexibility without having any flexibility, kind of.
Yeah, I think having everyone's bird rights is, like, a huge deal. Like, they can basically mix and match however they want.
Yeah. Yeah,
also, Carroll's only shooting 34% from three this year. God damn it.
It's really come down a lot. Like, it was at 37 or 38 before the All-Star. Like, he's been so bad since the All-Star break. I think it's brought it down quite a bit. But
yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And, like, you would think that the most likely guys that you're going to offload in the summer for money purposes are Valanciunas and Joseph, just because they have sort of built-in replacements for those guys already on the roster in Poeltl and Wright. Like, getting rid of Carroll makes it more difficult because you don't really have a lot of wing depth after that because you've already traded Terrence Ross. So maybe keeping Tucker makes that more sort of palatable. I don't know. It's fascinating.
Yeah,
this is going to be
this
is going to be a really interesting offseason for the Raptors with it, and they haven't really had one in a while. So I'm excited but also kind of scared.
Yeah, no, it's like we're, it feels like we've, it's like coming to a crescendo where, you know, Masai's been patient, like every offseason.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, all right, now it's where he has to earn his paycheck, you know, like really make moves that dictate the direction of the franchise for like the next 5 years.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy. We should enjoy the run to the playoffs though, because the Raptors have been pretty good.
Hey man, this team is nice, man. When Lowry's going to be healthy, we're going to be really nice. So
Yeah.
look forward to that. Look forward to that.
Absolutely. You could also look forward to us being back on the other side with the episode sponsor. Maybe I'll make Harsh play that random Raptors game too, because I'm a mean person. We'll be back in just a second here on the headquarters. Okay, welcome back to the headquarters. Sean Woodley wrapping things up here with Harsh Devay with your episode sponsor. This week's episode is brought to you by Michael Bradley. In honor of TFC starting up the new season just this past week, Michael Bradley, not the captain of TFC, the former Raptor who played two seasons with the Raptors, 2001, 2002, and 02-03. He played 67 games, started 11 in 2000-2003. He averaged 20 minutes a game, 5.6 boards that season. I think was a reasonable bench player, I guess.
That's all shockingly high to me.
I don't remember
Every
him at
single
all.
Number
So,
you just
yeah.
said.
Like, these are bigger numbers than, like, Muggsy Bogues put up with the Raptors, just on a pure counting basis. You weren't on that podcast, were you? Where we, like, John and I just got very disappointed by how shitty Muggsy Bogues actually was. Because in my mind, he was so much better than what he was in actuality. But
yo, wasn't Muggsy like a double double guy in Charlotte?
Yeah, like 9, like 10 and 10. Like,
god damn, that's pretty impressive still.
For
He's
yeah.
like 5'3", man. What the
Yeah.
hell? Anyway.
Just as tall as Isaiah Thomas.
Nah.
Yeah, so Michael Bradley overall played 98 games with the Raptors, 3.8 points, 4.5 boards. And after that, his career kind of didn't go anywhere. He only ended up playing 48 games with Philly, 11 with Atlanta, 8 with Orlando, and 8 with Sacramento. And then he was out of the league in 05-06. His best years of his career came with the Raptors. And his best game is what we're going to use for that random Raptors game. Are you ready for this?
Let's do it.
Is this the Kevin O'Neill year, 02-03? No.
No.
03-04 was, yeah, that's the year Vince
Yeah.
got traded, right? Or I don't remember.
No, 02-03 was like the year he was injured, I'm pretty sure.
Who, Vince?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a weird season that I don't really remember what happened. And I don't think we've done many of the, like, we don't think we played this game much for this season. But this is a doozy of a box score for the Raptors. This is exciting.
Jesus.
Okay. So the Raptors beat the Detroit Pistons on April 2nd, 2003. Is this the year they won the title? 2003? No.
No, they won in 04.
That's right, yeah. So
yeah.
This would have been the last year the Lakers won then. So yeah, the Raptors won 89-79 over the Pistons, moving the Raptors to 24-50.
Jesus.
Yeah, the Pistons, they were 47-27. I guess this was the year where the Raptors drafted Chris Bosh. Okay.
Yeah, because they were terrible because Carter got hurt.
Right, okay. So the Raptors, again, moved to 24-50 in this game. Michael Bradley came off the... Wait, he started this game. No way. Okay, Michael Bradley started this game, played 36 minutes, had 16 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 7 of 11 from the field, and a plus 16.
Wow.
Yeah, by far his
best game.
He's like
JV with the better plus minus.
No kidding. yeah, this Pistons team is really good,
man. Bone saw coming for me right now.
This is a really good Pistons team. Ben Wallace, Chauncey Billups, Cliff Robinson, Rip Hamilton, Michael Curry, Tayshaun, Corliss Williamson, John Barry.
They were Rasheed Wallace away from winning a title.
Absolutely. Hubert Davis and Danny Manning round out the rotation for them. They were 47.
Danny Manning, wow.
Yeah, he played 3 minutes, so.
Yeah, he was washed up, bud.
Yeah, they were 47-27 after this game. So big win for the Raptors in the doldrums of this really bad season. Thankfully, it didn't cost them the draft position where they ended up getting Chris Bosh. So that's good.
So this is the game that stopped us from getting Melo, basically.
Darko.
I'm going to blame it on this game.
Melo, yeah. Would you rather have had Melo or Chris Bosh?
Man, Melo was better than Chris Bosh.
Yeah? Yeah, you're probably right.
The thing is, like, Chris Bosh became a different player in Miami.
Actually, if you were to add Melo, because Melo was pretty good right away.
Yeah.
Melo Vince in 03-04,
You know,
maybe Vince stays because it's just like Melo and or Vince and T-Mac 2.0.
Maybe that Vince. Been the talk.
Okay, so this game is the reason Vince Carter didn't stay. damn you, Michael Bradley, and your good performance. So 11 Raptors suited up in this game. Again, Michael Bradley started, so you have 4 starters and 6 bench guys to get to. I will be amazed if you get them all.
I've never got, like, more than 50%.
In fairness, a lot of these guys are ones that you just randomly yell out at different times, so that's a good start, I guess.
All right. Okay. Omar Cook.
No. Guy. Don't come at me with Omar Cook inaccuracies. 0405, man. That's when he was in there for like 19 games.
Andre Barrett.
No.
Rod Strickland.
You always yell out Rod Strickland, and that's the one that's not on here of the guys that you always yell out.
All right. That was my 3 random guys.
You know there's good players, right? You could actually pick.
Morris Peterson.
Yeah, okay. He played 30 minutes. He had 13 points, 5 assists, 2 steals, 4 boards. On 5 of 8 shooting, 3-3 from downtown, and a +3.
Alvin Williams.
Correct. He played 31 minutes. He had 8 points, 6 assists, 2 rebounds, +15, 3 of 8 shooting.
Anthony Davis? No, Anthony Davis. Antonio Davis?
No, not in this game.
I think he was gone by then.
I think he was still on the team. I think he was injured, and that's why Michael Bradley started.
interesting. Okay.
Because he was in the Jalen Rose trade, right? Jalen wasn't on the team yet.
Yeah. That makes sense. Oh, God. Who else is on this goddamn team? That's so long ago.
There's some beauties, man.
Lamon Murray.
No. I think he was the next one.
Vashawn
Leonard. Damn right he was on this team. He was the sixth man. He came off the bench. He had 28 minutes played. 16 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 5 of 15 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3, and a +2.
That's pretty good.
Man, Vashawn Leonard was lights out in NBA Live 06.
Oh, he's money.
On the Nuggets?
He's like current-day Jody Meeks.
A little pudgy, too, so it makes sense.
Give me some help. Give me some help.
There's 2 starters left. One of them you should get. We've talked about him. And another guy you should also get. He was a fan favorite.
JYD?
Yep. He played 40 minutes. He had 11 points, 16 rebounds. 2 steals, 1 assist, +18, 4-4 from the field.
Okay, and who's the other guy? Pop So?
No, again, we've mentioned him. You may have incorrectly said he was injured or not. We may have said that this is the reason that he didn't stay.
Vince Carter.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
He played a bad Vince game. He had 18 points on 9 of 26 shooting, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. But he was a +21, so whatever.
For some reason, I assumed he was injured already.
No. I think he missed most of the early part of the season.
Yeah. Okay.
But this was like full on, like, I'm not dunking mode, I think. Or like getting very close to it.
Yeah.
All right, you have all the starters now. You are missing 5 guys on the bench.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Hey, I got Vashawn Leonard.
You did?
Yeah.
He got 16 of the team's 23 bench points. So among the remaining 5 guys, there were 7 points scored.
Michael Curry.
No, he was on the Pistons. I just said his name.
Oh, shit. God damn it. Man, the Raptors have had too many shit players.
They had a lot of shit players, man. There are some bad players. You yell this guy out all the time, but you always yell him out in like 2009-10 games, which he was just nowhere near.
Maceo Bastin.
Damn right. He played.
What?
Yeah. He played 2 minutes. He had no points, 1 missed shot, and 1 personal foul, and was a -4.
Maceo Bastin. Oh my God. Okay, next hint.
This guy, we've had him as an episode sponsor before. It was a center who shares a name with a notable person of the last couple years in basketball.
Huh.
Sort of notable, like not that, like around this time of year notable.
What the hell does that mean?
March. He's been notable in March.
He's been notable in March.
And he shares a name with this person who's been notable in March over the last couple of years. He's a center. I think it's like the most popular name in Africa, like the most popular first name, last name in this country, where he's from. I believe I read that.
Sidney Crosby?
No, you. Center.
All right.
Very tall person, played for a California college team.
What? Could be anybody.
No, because he's like freakishly tall. I think the Pistons might have signed him for a second.
Mamadou Ndiaye.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I believe I read that's the most popular name in Nigeria, I think. The most commonly used first name, last name combination. Either way, he played 1 minute, had no points, one rebound. -5.
Wow.
Yeah. So you've got...
What a team.
You got three bench guys left. One of them... It's like very notable. He had a couple stints with the team. Ended up being traded for one of the best seasons in Raptors history. And I say that with tongue in cheek.
Tracy Murray.
No.
I don't know.
Was it and one All-Star guy? Or something else?
Oh, Rafer Alston.
Yep. That was too easy of a clue, damn it. He had 5 points off the bench. He had one assist, two rebounds, 2 of 6 from the field in 17 minutes, and a -4. So you've got a center, and I think there's a lot of centers on this team, man. Oh, this guy was a shooting guard, small forward. So you got a center and a shooting guard.
Monk Butter.
No, no. He was the sponsor a couple weeks ago, though.
Jeez.
Yeah. This one... One of the best names of any player the Raptors have had, and like based on name, he should have been better, but he just wasn't.
Zenden Hamilton.
No, that's not a name of a good player. Come on.
That's a great name.
Eh.
All right, who is it?
Jelani McCoy.
Oh, wow.
That's a great name. He played
You hated on Zenden Hamilton, dog.
Eh, there's no Jelani McCoy. Jelani played 17 minutes. He had 2 points, 5 rebounds, 1 of 2 from the field, and a -3.
Mm-hmm.
And you're never going to get the last guy. It's Chris Jeffries.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And he was 1 turnover and 1 foul away from Club Trillion in this game. 2 minutes, 0s across the board, -4.
Beautiful.
What a shit team.
What a garbage team.
Good God, man. This is why you should appreciate the Raptors. This is the whole point of this entire segment. Appreciate the Raptors now, man. Like, yeah.
Well, we might be a couple years away from doing this, reliving this shit.
In a weird way, I'm okay with that. I'm ready for it. I think that's part of the sort of cycle of being a fan. Like, I'm going to really enjoy these years, but when the crap years come again, I'm going to be okay with it, and I'm going to enjoy it. Like, part of me really wishes I was a Pelicans fan, because they have, like, 400 different players play for their team every year, and it's just kind of hilarious. I don't know. There's something endearing about it.
I feel like it's easier to say from our perch, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Bro, probably, yeah.
Because I don't know how good people feel like being like the goddamn Kings or the Suns or something.
That's the thing. Like, I have faith that once the Raptors go down the tubes eventually, like, they won't be as bad as those teams. Or just like as mismanaged, you would hope.
Yeah, hopefully we get a quick turnaround.
I mean, they've already had Rob Babcock, so I doubt he gets rehired at some point.
Listen. Masai's never leaving, okay?
No, he's a lifer. he might just blow it up just to give himself a challenge.
Yeah.
Like, really. I mean, he's done it all. Maybe he'll just, like, hand the keys over to Bruno, see what he can do, and get the lottery. Get the first in the lottery pick, and then go from there. Get RJ Barrett.
There we go.
Look at us planning 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road.
Nice.
All right, we're all done here. Apologies for the weird recording glitch at the start of the show. That's probably on me because my computer is dumb. But thank you so much for listening. Harsh, anything coming down from you on the site?
No, nothing for now.
Okay. Oh shit, I have to write the preview for tomorrow's game, so that'll be up. keep an eye out for that. I obviously Locked On Raptors every day. Please check out the show. I'm going to have an episode with Brad Rowland from Locked On Hawks and from Peachtree Hoops, teeing up Friday's game against the Hawks, so check that out on Friday morning sometime. Yeah, lots of stuff free to check out, so please enjoy the site. Lots of stuff comes out on Friday. Russell's column, I think. Dan has something, like Dan Hackett has something on Fridays as well. John has something on Fridays, so check out the site on Friday. Lots of content, and enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the games this weekend against the Hawks and Heat, and we'll see you next week after the Raptors return home. Harsh, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, man, anytime.
All right, everyone, have a great weekend, or a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.